Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride's here, too. Joan's our good friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's a senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's our good friend. Joan, welcome back.
Hey there, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks. Good to be back.
You're all a Twitter, aren't you?
As always.
What's the news there in the nation's capital? Anything going
what's
on that we didn't know?
There? Well, let's see. I think Congress is getting ready to take itself on vacation again.
Well, thank you for that.
We've got Memorial Day coming up, so that's big.
Yeah, we've had some presidential debates.
We have.
The Tweedledum and Tweedledee and all their different ones. There were 10 Republicans this week, weren't there?
I know. I couldn't even name them all, I don't think.
10. I mean, this guy named Paul, Congressman Paul, was controversial. He was in the news. I didn't even know he existed, let alone that he was running for president.
Right.
I mean, guys like that are taking up airtime. I mean, why is he up there?
Yeah, and how do you finance a campaign? I just don't understand it.
Right. Our friend Jim Gilmore, who's a member of our Brain Trust, was up on the stage. How about that?
Right. Well, I've heard of him.
Yeah, I know. He was your mayor. I mean, your governor, yeah, the governor of your
right.
state for
right.
a while. And
he
he's
was.
Been on my show. He's been on my show dozens of times over the years. So we were proud of him. And, of course, he's, truthfully, he's not going anywhere probably. But, he does have credentials. Governor Gilmore has national security credentials.
And wasn't he the head of, one of the campaign committees?
He was a Republican national. I think he was a national
chairman
of the Republican. Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
he was.
What it was.
So he's got his bona fides. There's no
mm-hmm.
question about that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Well, and the big news there is the Republicans are seeking someone who does have conservative bona fides, and the question is, does McCain have them? Does Giuliani have them? Does Romney have them? And I know that in a lot of the press I've read, some people say, well, Gilmore is the one who really has them.
Well, he certainly does. I'm concerned as much as I think of Jim. I just think that he doesn't have the power. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the name recognition that you and I have of him. I mean, obviously, everybody in the plant knows about him as a result of being on my show. But
right.
But other than that, I don't know. And it'll be interesting. And of course, the thing that's the most interesting about the Republican situation are the two people who weren't even on the stage. Right.
Who would that be?
Thompson. And Gingrich.
Oh, Gingrich!
They weren't even on the stage.
Yeah.
And they're both. I mean, Gingrich basically announced this week. Did you hear that?
I did not know that he announced.
Yeah, he was in South Carolina, and he quit being so demure about it. He actually kind of said, I'm probably going to be announcing soon. I heard a quote like that from him, and of
See,
course,
what
Thompson's
I read
doing,
was that he was going to be deciding soon.
Well,
I thought I heard
language a little more,
yeah.
but it's just interesting that all these, you got these 10 guys up on the stage and, it almost doesn't matter, I think, because we've got these two 625 pound gorillas, Gingrich and Thompson. And so when they get in, that's just going to change everything. I mean, whatever's happened before isn't going to matter when those two.
That's right. Sure.
Now, I'm not saying that they're winners, either one of them can win. I'm just saying that they're significant enough that's
a contrarian view, but I'm not convinced Thompson is going to run.
Okay.
So I'm just throwing that out there.
I appreciate your putting that stake in the ground.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not gonna as
and
much
when
as
he
I
announces,
love
you can tell me I told you so.
As much as I love being contrarian, and you know I do. I think you're going to miss that one.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
But we'll see. Joan, what are the big lead today, this week in the Kiplinger letter was all about stocks, right?
You betcha.
And the
we're
big
asking
question.
Our stock prices dangerously high, which I think it's a good question to ask because I think the Dow set yet another record. Was it yesterday or the day before?
Yep.
It's well over 13,000.
It's approaching 14, isn't it?
It's approaching 14. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's my question, Joan. Are stocks prices dangerously high?
Well, we're not saying there's going to be a crash. I think we kind of dance around the answer here. I think we're saying that there is room for them to come down a bit, but nothing precipitous.
You know, when I think of stock prices, Joan, and, you know, when I think of... As you know, I spend a lot of time contemplating all the interest in the stock market,
mm-hmm.
and how little many who control the media and a lot of our popular culture, how many of those people care nothing about small business. I spent a good bit of time contemplating that little scenario, and when I think about stocks, especially the stock market, not the companies who are being run, who create the stocks, but when I think about the trading of all that, all I can think about is drama and emotion. What do you think?
Right, that sure makes sense to me. Yeah.
Drama and
drama
emotion.
And emotion.
And see, drama and emotion are two really kind of enemies of operating a business successfully.
I would think so. Yeah.
You know,
they
drama.
Get you in trouble.
To me, drama is a way of not dealing with reality, and emotion is, you know, not dealing with things in a leadership way.
Logical way and thinking
yeah.
them through, right?
Pragmatic. So
right.
So it's just that's just an interesting thing to me is the you've got companies out there who are running their businesses and they're not running them on emotion. They're getting rid of the drama in the businesses, but
right.
when their stocks hit the public sector, it becomes emotional and dramatic. Because, you know, if you think about it, when you hear the talking heads, the stock talking, the investment talking heads on television, you know, they're always talking about the stock market like it was an entity.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's frightened today. It's scared, or you know,
yeah.
or, you know, they're given those kinds of attributions.
Yes.
And I think that's a heck of a way to run a railroad, if you ask me. It's the reason why I'm glad I'm a small business owner, Joan. I like it. I like it out here where things are more real. Stand by. Quick break. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, and we're going to also talk about some energy forecasts. Kiplinger has an outstanding energy forecast little box on page one. We'll talk about that with Joan Pride and many other things right after these messages. Stay with us.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. Thousands of archives, thousands of articles, too. Hundreds of Brain Trust members, lots of good stuff there. Don't forget the new ways that we have available to you to use the archives. You can actually download them. You can podcast them now. You can subscribe to the RSS feed to them. You can stream them. And also, all that's by MP3, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is done MP3 now. So that's a big improvement, big change for us. We worked hard on that and made a significant investment so you could have that, and I hope you take advantage of it. And don't forget to take advantage of our new knowledge base for small business, AskJim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. So please take advantage of that. Use it to your advantage. As you know, everything I have has no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. Joan Pride, by the way, folks, is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're working off that of this week's Kiplinger letter. Joan, the stock market, as we said earlier, as you guys reported, is just going through the roof. You're asking the question, is it is it dangerously high?
Right.
I hear conflicting reports from the other people that I listen to about this. But one thing that's interesting, though, is is all of the mixed messages I think we're getting from the globe, from the U.S. economy. We got low unemployment, high stock prices. So that's those two things go together.
Right. You've got the sluggish housing market.
But you got sluggish housing market and high inflation. Those don't go with the first two, do they?
Right. And then the big question that I keep reading about is the consumer getting tired? And that question, it's not only because of maybe falling housing values, but also higher gas prices.
And, you know, I'd like to correct the way you said that and offer another suggestion.
Oh, sure.
I know consumers. I live with a shopper.
Mm-hmm.
There is no tiring. There is no such thing as getting tired, okay? The question is the consumer's plastic getting worn out? I think that's the terminology you're looking for, right?
Right. I agree.
Because you know my shopper, and you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Okay, so now, Joan, you're our currency expert, so...
Oh, no.
What would the lower dollar do? Why is that... Is that making U.S. shares cheaper for foreigners?
That's what this letter says right here, and I'm willing to endorse that. That's what it says.
Well, you wrote this part, didn't you, Joan?
Oh, sure. No.
Now, here's an interesting point. Lessening inflation dangers. Oil prices are calm, and wage gains are slowing, reducing the odds of a market roiling interest rate hike.
Well, why am I paying $3.20 a gallon for gas, then?
That's my point. I don't see oil prices calming down at $3.20. Do you?
Well, but see, crude is $62 a barrel.
Yeah.
But I still don't understand why gasoline prices are a dollar higher a gallon now than they were a couple of months ago.
When it was $62. Well, I told you, I don't know if I've told you this or not, but my petroleum experts, my energy experts say that the story is that the refineries are, some of the refineries are offline for maintenance or for repairs or for expansion, and that's one of the problems.
Hey, that's not my problem.
I know. Well, and so my question, and of course, as you know, Joan, I asked one of our energy experts earlier this week, how long has it been since we've had a new refinery? He said over 30 years. He said, now, the ones we have have been expanded, but new refineries, it's been over 30 years since one's been built.
Yeah, that's not good.
Because of regulations, because of the greenies,
right.
Because of NIMBY. You know what NIMBY is?
Not in my backyard.
That's it.
Right. Thought you could stump me. You couldn't.
Why don't we go out to the middle of... I mean, have you ever flown... Joan, you've flown across the western part of the United States.
Yeah.
There are millions of miles out there where there's nobody within, 300 miles.
Yes, there are no backyards.
Why can't we go out there and build a refinery?
I don't see why not. Because it doesn't matter where you build them, right?
That's exactly right. Here are some of the people that Kiplinger recommends, by the way. And by the way, we don't do stock picks on this show. I don't do a lot on the stock market. I promise the stock market guys I wouldn't do that if they won't do small business. But, Joan, I do think it's important that we point out a couple of things. So you guys recommend some of these companies. You call them dividend-paying companies. They're large and they're global. Which ones are they?
Well, let's see. We've got Coca-Cola, Hewlett-Packard. These are all, good names, GE, Avon, and Caterpillar.
Now, another thing, and one of the reasons why I think you guys are recommending the global companies, this is my opinion now, why you guys are doing this. I haven't talked to anybody about this.
Right.
The global economy is growing. It's expanding.
True.
See, this is why I think, this is another reason why I think, even though we've got some tough sectors and some tough elements in our market, our economy, gasoline prices, housing, one of the reasons why I think that the United States economy is kind of hanging in there, Joan, is because our dollar is weak, so that makes our goods and services more valuable overseas.
Oh, now you're the currency expert.
Well, see, but Joan, we've got trade deals that we're building around the world, which I think we need more of, and with the global economy expanding, Europe's doing a lot better now. With those, how many years have you and I been saying, when's Europe going to step into the economy, the world economy, and start, doing their part? Well, they're starting to do that. My point is, with these other companies you guys are recommending, they're global, and they're taking advantage of that.
Right.
So, folks, there you go. That's our stock story for the day. When we come back, we're going to talk about some energy forecasts, and then we'll move on and talk about some other issues that Kiplinger reports this week. 29 hours. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, we were just about to talk about your energy forecast, which is the little graphic that you guys have. You always have some kind of a graphic on page one of the Kiplinger letter, but
yeah.
Today's is the energy forecast. And so let's talk about that a little bit. In fact, you've kind of got a little good news, Joan, but only from the standpoint of, actually the gasoline looks pretty good too. You're saying you're seeing crude oil prices go down over the next
few
months.
Yes, we are. So I better be seeing my gas prices go down pretty soon or I'm going to be pretty mad.
Well, let's move right down to that. By the way, folks, Kiplinger says currently, obviously, crude is 62, and by the summer, which surprises me, Joan, the crude's going to drop a couple of bucks, and then you say by the end of the year, by December, it's going to be at 58. So let's move down and overlay the gas prices on that, Joan. Right now, you're saying they're at 304.
Right.
You and I both know some East Coast markets have it at more like 224.
224? You mean 324?
I mean 324.
Yeah, like my market. Right.
Yeah, exactly. 324. But you're saying by July, it's going to drop to 285.
Which I find interesting because it's the middle of the summer at that point.
Exactly. Well, and if that's what happens, Joan, that will not... I'm not trying to give the oil companies a pass here, folks, but that would explain and prove that I guess that they were telling the truth when they say the refineries were offline just currently for this month maybe or whatever, and that if they get the refineries back up for the summer, they'll have more capacity, more inventory, and they'll be able to drop the prices. But the good news is you're saying by the end of the year gas prices are going to be at 240, which I see your numbers not as high as say a DC market, but higher than say, you know, Sheboygan or you know, somewhere in Heartland.
Right, they might be 215, 220.
Something like that, yeah.
Right.
So hopefully that's good news, and that'll be good for the economy, won't it, Joan?
Oh, it would be great for the economy, I think, because one of the theories right now about consumer spending is that consumers are holding back a bit because they're seeing... I'm just amazed that, you know, I have a gas card, and when the statement comes in at the end of the month, I'm just amazed at how much I'm spending.
It's shocking, and
yeah.
You know, I have an SUV, but it doesn't have a big tank. I mean, it's not got a monstrous tank. It holds like 22 gallons.
Right.
You know, it cost me $65 to fill up the other day.
Gee.
You know, and as I say, you know, and the average car has, you know, even a Taurus has 19 gallons.
Right.
So it's not like I have this huge tank.
Right.
And I get pretty good miles out of my SUV. It's a 6-cylinder, But anyway, it's just shocking to see that. Joan, here's something that I learned this week that you'll find interesting that could be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems we have in the United States is foreign oil. As you know, we're dependent upon foreign oil, and we've got plenty of oil under our soil and offshore in our lands in the United States. But we've got a problem that most of that land is controlled by the government. So so as you know, many of the politicians block drilling in Anwar, as you and I've talked about before,
right?
And where the little Thumper and Bambi are, or offshore. But here's what we learned this week. Myron Ebel with the Competitive Enterprise Institute told us this week that recently, in the last year or so, they have found maybe as many as 20 billion barrels in Montana.
Ooh.
Under private land.
Wow.
And if that's true, Joan, it may double our known reserves in the United States.
That's amazing.
Now, think about that.
Wow.
So if we can, and see, that's under private land, so there's not good. They're already, Myron tells us, they're already pumping oil out of those fields right now.
Right.
This new oil.
Gee.
So think about doubling our reserves.
20 billion? Gee.
Yeah. So you don't hear much about that. I mean, there was a Wall Street Journal article about it, but you don't hear much about that.
Right.
If my point is, Joan, if this country wanted to be much more energy independent, we could be. We just don't have the ability to pull it off politically, I think.
That's right.
Heating oil, Joan, is going to go up. That's
yes,
what you're saying.
That's true. Right now it's at $2.50 per gallon, and we think it's going to go down to $2.40, but then back up to $2.75, higher than it is now in December.
Yeah. So, which isn't, doesn't that happen usually every year? Doesn't
you'd have to figure on a dip in the summer and a spike in the winter, sure.
Like gasoline prices, countercyclical to gasoline prices.
Exactly.
And when we come back, folks, we're going to talk about some tax issues. We're going to talk about some medical issues and some political issues. Right after these messages, 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and my friend, Joan Pry. Your friend, too, is with us. Joan is still with us. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and I enjoy telling you about their website, folks, because it's an important one. It's one that I encourage you to check out to use to your advantage. Even if you're not a subscriber, you can use their website. It's kiplinger.com. But also, I encourage you to check out their products, their publications, which is the flagship, the Kiplinger Letter, which Joan and I work off of every week. That's the weekly publication. Comes on Friday or Monday, depending on Friday by email, Monday by snail mail. I get it both ways. I can't get enough of it. And then they got three biweekly letters, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, and the Agriculture Letter, all intuitively named. Right, Joan?
You bet.
Very intuitively named.
Yes.
If you're a farmer, you probably don't want the tax letter. If you live in Delaware,
there's tax issues for farmers, you know.
If you live in Delaware, you probably don't want the California letter. But anyway, then they got a magazine, Joan. What's that called?
You bet. That's our personal finance magazine, named appropriately enough, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
There you go. A lot of good stuff there. And that's a monthly,
yep.
And you can get all of these, and you can get a 30-day free trial by going to the website. And also, there's a phone number Joan's going to give you.
Right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
I like telling you about Kiplinger because it's very important. You know, Joan, I told the audience this, I think it was last week or week before, why I'm so proud of what you guys do. You're a family-owned small business.
Yes.
Even though you're not a tiny business. I mean, you got, what, 150, 200 employees, something like that?
I would think
but,
so.
But, I mean, you're still, after all these years, after 80-something years, and in the world that you're in, I mean, the financial publishing industry, to be a family-owned small business still is just pretty impressive to me. And I just think that's a great American success story, I think.
Well, thank you. And it's not by accident. The Kiplinger family has always striven. That's been a value of theirs. I'm sure, I don't know this for a fact, but I can't imagine they did not have opportunities to sell the business. I'm sure people have come calling, but they want to maintain it in the family and keep it running that way.
Joan, let's move over and talk about the election over on page 3. Here's a question. Will California be the kingmaker in the 2008 presidential election? Now, what do you think you guys mean about that?
Well, what we're saying is we're wondering if California is, quote-unquote, in play. Usually it's considered a pretty major Democratic stronghold, and Democrats, as we say, have taken it for granted in previous contests.
Well, it's major because of the number of votes that it has.
If it's safely in one column or another, you don't think much about it.
And is it all or none out there? Isn't that state all or none?
I think...
Most states
well, now,
are,
let's
I think.
See.
I think there's only a couple of...
There's very few. I think almost every state is all or none, but not every state.
So what do they get? 47 or 67 or what? I forgot what the number is out there. It's a big
55.
Number. 55 electoral votes. Yes, so it says so right here in the Kiplinger letter. All I had to do was read. But there's 55 votes out there, but it's been pretty much guaranteed for the Democrats, hasn't it?
Right, even though they do have a Republican governor, you know, the governator.
and have had many. And they have a lot of Republican congressmen out there. No senators, but a lot of congressmen and women.
That's right. That's right.
Well, now, so what would it take for Florida to be a little more interesting this next election?
You mean California?
I mean California.
Right. We're saying if there's a moderate candidate, then things could get very interesting.
I think it would take more than... Well, you know, you might be right. I mean, I don't know how close it's ever been for a non-moderate candidate out there, but moderate meaning Giuliani?
Well, some people would call him moderate, and others would call him liberal, so it's hard to know. But
right. But Giuliani's liberal in California would be moderate.
That's true. That's
right?
True. It might be even right wing in California.
Don't forget they do have the Ninth Circuit out there, Joe.
How could we forget?
Don't forget those guys out in San Francisco.
But the other factor here is all this crazy maneuvering of the primary schedule where everybody's trying to leapfrog over each other to be the first one. I'm telling you, we're going to end up with a primary. Somebody's going to have a primary in 2007. You watch.
Somebody's going to have a primary?
A primary.
Yeah, in 2007.
That's my prediction, yeah. Because we're pushing the envelope here. We're pushing into January now of 2008. Everybody's moving
everything up. I see what you mean. They're going to keep pushing it back into I don't think that's going to happen this cycle, but the point you're making is that the Super Tuesday is now going to be Galactic Tuesday, right?
Well, but the problem is you're having people getting in front of even Super Tuesday. So
yeah,
Super Tuesday may even be less super.
But I was moving Super Tuesday back. I mean, I wasn't calling it the original Super Tuesday. I'm just saying the point is more and more states are moving their and you're right, they're moving their primaries up earlier. But the good news is we're going to kind of know what's going on very quick, aren't we? About a year.
Yeah, but I've been reading about this. I'm not sure what the point of that is, because let's say you move everything up and you figure out who the nominees are probably going to be by March. Well, then what do you do the rest of the spring and summer? What's the point?
Oh, they'll
of
just
that?
Stop. They'll just kind of suspend everything till September. Till the right, there won't be any talking about presidential election, right?
It just sure. Yeah, from your mouth to God's ears, I don't think so.
What is interesting about this, though, is how moving of the primaries is going to change the dynamic of the election, isn't it?
Well, I think you're probably
process,
right.
Of the process, I should
yes.
say.
Yes,
Of the nominating process.
Right.
And in my opinion, of the ones who actually have a chance, Giuliani is the only one who could possibly win California for the Republicans.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, and I often have, Joe. Stand by.
Really?
Quick break. 10 till. I'll be right back with our good friend Joan Pryde. Stay with us. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with Joan Pryde. And Joan, by the way, Joan's she's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, you got good news out there for those of us, I'm including myself, who use laptops. I make my living on a laptop.
Well, and this sounds great. We're saying that faster, more power-efficient models are coming. And I think we really need that.
Let's talk about some taxes. The IRS is looking into excessive per diem that is being paid to workers by employees. Now, aren't they kind of going over into the weeds on this one?
Well, they think they're not. This is particularly pertinent for truckers. If your company pays you a per diem and that per diem is higher than what the IRS allows, you know, they set a level under which, you know, if you pay that per diem, the IRS isn't going to audit you or worry about taxable income or anything like that. But if it's above what the IRS allows, that excess amount is supposed to be taxed. And if you're not making sure it's getting taxed, you, the employer, you may have the IRS on your back.
Hmm.
Well, so
you've
got
to
keep good records.
Can you imagine, though? I mean, what is the percentage of that? I mean, that sounds like low percentage stuff to me.
You would think, but the IRS it's been pretty widespread in the industry. The idea of, according to the IRS, right. of excess per diem. So they think it's a widespread problem. And if they think it is, boy, you can't get that thought out of their heads.
And I'll tell you something. Per diem is not something most small business owners talk about much.
True.
You know, we don't have that kind of a situation. This
right.
is going to be mostly big business stuff. But there is something that some people might be interested in, some small business owners, and that's the new wage base for Social Security, Joan. What does that mean?
It's going to top $100,000 for the first time next year. So it's going to be $102,300.
Yeah, I remember when it was $8,000.
Yeah,
Joan,
sorry to end on bad news.
I think you were in the first grade when that was happening.
Right.
Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.